Thank you, brother, for ministering to us in song. And that in itself has been an encouragement and a blessing to our hearts. Let's just bow for a word of prayer as we come to God's word tonight. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for this service. Thank and praise thee, Lord, for the opportunity we have to preach the precious truth of Christ's righteousness. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us now. Lord, in the closing moments of this meeting, you'll settle our hearts. Lord, even give us that word to speak. Lord, bless those that hear. Lord, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And Lord, tonight we pray that you will try the hearts and even bring those not saved unto thyself. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, could you turn, please, to the Old Testament, turning to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel in the chapter 5. I know time is flying on, but we're aware of that. And for the next few moments, we just want to consider a story here in Daniel chapter 5, the account of Belshazzar, the king, making that great feast in the palace. Daniel chapter 5, and we want to commence to read at verse 1, reading down through until the end of the chapter. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And move down into verse 25. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. Amen. And God will always bless the public reading of his word for his name's sake. In our reading tonight, we are looking at the last night in a man's life. This isn't just any man. The Bible tells us that this is the last night in the life of a king. For this man in life, things were very good. He had as much of everything as I'm sure he would have wanted because he was a king. Money was no problem, riches, wealth, popularity, position. He had all of those things. But there was one thing that was lacking in the life of Belshazzar. He never gave any thought to God's great and vast eternity. And you know, maybe you're here tonight and you're the very same. Maybe for you in life things are great. For you tonight things are good. And as far as you're concerned, you have much goods laid up for many years, as it says in Luke 12. And you intend to eat, drink, and be merry. Well, I'll ask you tonight just to stop for a few moments and to consider God's great and vast eternity. If this was your last night on God's earth, I wonder how would it be for you? Could you say tonight that it is well with your soul? Could you say that tonight, that it's well with your soul? Over in 2 Kings in the chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, we read there about a little boy who was out in the field helping his father. Came to his father and he said, "Father, my head is sore." The father said to one of the servants, "Take him to his mother." The Bible tells us that that mother nursed that little boy until noon and he died. How sad it must have been for that mother. But as you read that story, you will discover that that mother, she sought out God's man. And she believed in her heart that her little boy would live again. Because the servant, God's man, sent a servant. And he said, "Inquire about the husband. Inquire about the child." You see, Elisha, he had stayed off with this Shunammite woman many times. And he knew her. He knew the little boy and he knew the family. And he said, "Ask, is it well?" And she came back and she said, "It is well." Because she had the faith in her heart to believe that her little boy would live again. And let me ask you that question tonight. Is it well with your soul? Every doorstep I go to, I'll ask, "Are you saved?" I'll show the literature. I'll say we're out and about today giving out this literature. I'm not even talk about the church. I'll just say there's literature for you. Tell me this. Do you go to church? No. Do you go to chapel? No. You're not religious at all? No. Do you think you'll get to heaven? Not sure. Would you say you're saved? No. Yes. Maybe. I think so. What's your answer tonight? Are you saved tonight? Is it well with your soul? There was a young man that I worked with in the shop. And whenever you're in the shop, many times you sit about and you talk about what you do at the weekend. You talk about your interests, your hobbies, all of those things that fill up your time, if you like. And he knew the work that I did. He knew the work I did amongst the church and all of those things. And I had told him many times that he needed to be saved. In fact, he knew because one of his best friends was a Christian. He called him Colin. And I remember going in to Colin and he worked. He's a good lad to work with and all of those things. He was around the same age as me. I remember going in one day and I was going into the hospital to do a visit and coming down towards the corridor. He had left the shop and I had left the shop. I hadn't seen him in years. And coming down the corridor, he was coming towards me and he was wearing slippers and a dressing gown. And he was terrible looking. He was yellow, so yellow. And it was in 2006 because that was the year that my mum had a liver transplant. And I knew all about those things. And I looked at him and I said, Colin, you're not very well. His mother was walking him out to the door and he said, no, I'm not well. He had cancer around the liver. And his mum turns to me and she says, you know, Mark, things are not good for Colin. And I looked at him and he was about 6'3". And I'm not tall, but he was taller than me. And I just looked up to him and I says, you know, big fella, I says, you know what you need to do. And I said, I'll be back in to see you. And I went in to see that fella for the time of his illness. And I remember going to the house 3 weeks before he died. I remember sitting in the living room and he was watching Sky Sports. I can see it as clear as a bell yet. Sky Sports was on. He loved his football. And I was talking away to his mother. His mother's saved. And I was talking away to his mother. And I said, you know, Colin, things aren't looking good. This wasn't the time for preaching. All the preaching had been done in the shop. I says, Colin, things aren't looking good. He says, no, it's not really. And his mother had told me that he had met with the minister. His funeral had all was arranged. He had discussed what he wanted and what he wanted said. I said, Colin, you know, the Lord's here and he wants to save you. You know, heaven can be yours today. And you know what he did? He turned and he said to me, he says, Mark, it's not for me. And he watched the TV. And he never spoke to me the rest of the visit. St. Patrick's Day, I was away with my wife over at her work, helping her clear the office. Phone rang and it was his mom to say, Colin had died last night. It's not for me. Just 31 years of age, cut off and taken into God's eternity. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not the length of 31. Maybe you're here tonight and you're past 31. What if this was your last night on God's earth? Very quickly, there are things that I want us to consider from this passage here in Daniel chapter 5. The first thing I want us to notice is there was a great party. Because we notice here in verse 1 that Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. What a party this was. The palace is now a place of sinful pleasure. 1,000 of his lords were there. Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And great feasts and parties like this were commonplace in these times. The Bible tells us in verse 2 that Belshazzar tasted the wine. So we can establish very quickly that this was a place of drunkenness. This was a place of entertainment. This was a place of fun. This was a place of worldly enjoyment. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 14 verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And today many deny God's existence. And you said to me tonight, Mark, I don't deny God's existence. I believe that God is real. And everybody on the doorstep says to me, Mark, I believe that God is real. And you maybe believe that God is real. Not right, young man. You believe that God is real. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Many deny there is God's existence, not by their actions, not by their soul, but by their actions in life. They deny God's existence by how they live their life. No God for me. I have no room. I have no time for God in my life. Do you believe in God today? You say, yes, of course I do. What would you say? Only a fool would say there's no God. Why will you not have Christ in your life? Oh yes, you don't deny the existence of God, but you do deny him existing in your life. You see, today so many, they want the blessings of God upon their home. They want the blessings of God upon their life. They want the blessings of God upon their business. But they don't want the blessing of God's salvation. They don't want him in their life. They have room for pleasure, room for everything, but no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible tells us here in Daniel chapter 5, verse 4, that Belshazzar praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Here this was the place of false worship. He was mocking all things that were holy. The Bible tells us here that this was a king who had no time for God, no interest in spiritual things. And you know the sad reality of this? This was the last day of his life. And if you don't think it is, look at verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. You know, I wonder there if this was your last night on God's earth. I wonder what you would do. I wonder what changes you would make. I would say if you knew this was your last night on God's earth, you would listen to this sermon. I would say if you knew this was your last night on God's earth, you might even consider being a Christian. If you knew this was your last night on God's earth, you might even talk to a Christian friend about getting saved. The reality is, we don't know. The reality is, we don't know. The Bible says what a day will bring forth. Here was a king, and the only thing he could think of was the here and the now. Oh yes, that great party. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Friend, what about the after this? Where will you be 5 minutes after you have died? 5 minutes after you're gone into God's eternity, where will you be? For Belshazzar, his party will soon be over. This church service will soon be over. If your life was soon over, where would your soul be? Notice with me a great panic. Because in verse 6, verse 5, something supernatural happens. The Bible says that in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand came and wrote on the wall. Look at verse 6. We see the countenance of the king changed. His thoughts troubled him. The joints of his loins were loosed. And his knees smote one against the other. His knees were knocking. God has changed the very countenance of this man. Something has happened in his life. And maybe you have felt like this. Maybe there has been meetings that you have been in and your countenance has changed. Your heart has been troubled. Your thoughts have changed. Verse 6. His thoughts troubled him. Maybe after a gospel meeting, your thoughts have troubled you. And you've went out into that car park. You've got into your car. You've went home and you've sat in the house. And your thoughts have troubled you. Do you know why? Because you're under conviction of your sin. The finger of God was pointing into the life of Belshazzar. The finger of God. Imagine that statement. The finger of God. In Exodus chapter 8, we read about Pharaoh. And the finger of God was also pointing into his life. Even as magicians said it in chapter 8, verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them. What if God was to put his finger on your life? What if God was to say to you tonight, listen, this is your last night. This is the last time you will sit in this church in Crossgar. This is your last opportunity to be saved. What would you do? Would you be like Belshazzar? Would you tremble? Would your thoughts change? Would your countenance change? Would you be like Pharaoh? Would you harden your heart and say, this gospel is not for me? You see, the finger of God was pointing into his life. What if the finger of God was to point into your life? Do you ever think of all those lucky escapes? Do you ever think of all those near shaves? Do you ever think of all, boy, that was close. That wasn't luck. That wasn't a near shave. That wasn't even close. That was the hand of a gracious God upon your life. What grace God has shown you in the span of your years. Grace that you might be saved. Grace that you might come to know him as your Savior. You see, friends, all of the sermons that you have ever heard, all of the gospel tracts, all of the evangelists, the children's meetings, all of the opportunities of preaching that you have heard over your lifetime, if you die without Christ, you will be reminded of these things in God's eternity. There will be a remembrance in heaven. There will be a remembrance in hell. To die without Christ, what an awful thing. What a change there was for this king. In verse 1 we read that he was having a great time. In verse 6 we read that he was having a terrible time. Because the Spirit of God was at work in his heart. Maybe God's finger is pointing at you right now. And God is saying to you, listen, it's time that you were saved. It's time that you stopped doing what you're doing. It's time that you sat up and listened. It's time that you took stock of your life and you said to yourself, where am I going to be in God's great eternity? My mum in 2006, she went to London for a transplant, a liver transplant. We knew as children that mum's health wasn't good, but in 2006 that illness peaked. And we went across to London, my dad and myself, brother and sister, they were left at home. And we thank God that she got the transplant and that was okay. But mum was only 52. Mum was a young woman. My friend Colin, he was only 31. That woman I talked to this week in the doors, she's 89 and still not saved. You see, friend, the Bible says now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Here was a woman of 52 who was ready for heaven. Here was a young man of 31 who wasn't ready for heaven when I spoke to him. And to our knowledge, he died without Christ. Here was a woman of 89 years of age who taught Sunday school and still was going to a lost eternity. Friend, God's finger is pointing at you tonight. Has your countenance changed? Don't look at this preacher. Don't even look at this church. Don't even look at the minister. Don't even look at the elders or the committee. Because it's none of your business about this church. It's none of your business about the elders or the committee or the deacons or other Christians either. What is your business is what you're doing with Jesus Christ. And when you come to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll not ask you about the minister. He'll not even ask you about the elders. He'll not be interested in the committee. And he'll not be worried about the other Christians either. He'll be interested in what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose you this day who you will serve. Is it Christ? For Belshazzar, it was him and God. God was breaking into his life. And my, how his countenance changed. Notice with me as we finish this message, a great fall. Because the Bible tells us there in verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. This was the night that Belshazzar was going to die. Could you imagine if you were to die this night? And you don't know. I don't know. Do you really know that you're going to see tomorrow? Oh yes, we intend to. My diary's full of stuff for this year. And I'm sure yours is as well. But we don't know that we'll be there. We don't know that we will keep those appointments because the finger of God could just step into your life and God says, your time's up, you're coming into God's eternity. Where will you be? We don't know these things. You see, things can change so quickly. And I'm sure if you knew tonight this was your last night, you would make a change. There might be phone calls you'd make. There might be things that you'd have to do financially. There might be things you'd have to sort out with the family. There might be somebody you would want to go and see. There might be somebody you'd want to go and talk to. What about the Lord? What about your soul? Is that on that list? Because if it is, tonight's the night. Now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Because so quickly, this king, he was in a party having a great time. And the Bible says in verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans. And he died that night. That was it. I was down the town the other week at the bank. I wasn't putting money in. I was trying to get money out. They said all the money's in Crossgar. That's where they said it was. So if you could let us a few quid on the way out, the banks in Ballymoney are broke. And if you know Ballymoney, I was coming up the main street into the car park at the top of the town. And there's an undertaker's up there. And I got the shock of my life. I come up in through the wee gap to come into the car park. And there was coffins stacked six high in the car park. Three piles of coffins. 18 coffins. And that's just a picture you don't see every single day. But the undertakers was there and the lorry was dropping them off. It was making a delivery. And just the very image of those coffins startled my mind. I'm not ready today. I have my faith in Christ. All right, man. I have my faith in Christ. What about you? If it was your coffin that you were being measured up for tonight or tomorrow or the next day, where would your soul be? And I just thought as I walked to the car, those coffins have been brought over, they've been delivered to Ballymoney, and the person for that coffin is walking the street right now. Can you imagine that? The coffin that's there, it's like being measured for a suit, you see. Your next suit is hanging in the shop right now. And you'll go in and you'll be measured and you'll get your suit. And our coffin could be sitting right there in the undertaker's store. Where will your soul be? What if it's tonight? In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. You see, One night can change everything. One visit to the doctor. People don't want to go to the doctor now in case he tells them bad news. One accident, one little mishap, one little problem can change everything in our life. Just one little thing. Because one night made a difference for this king. One night made a difference, and this king was in God's eternity. You see, friend, death is the final harvest. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What are you reaping today? Are you sowing to the flesh? Or are you sowing to the spirit? Will you reap corruption or will you reap life everlasting? If you have Christ as your Savior today, you're sowing to the spirit. Heaven's yours. What a thrill that is to our heart. If you're not saved tonight, you're sowing to the flesh. And you'll be lost. I want to finish with a story. In 1912, warnings were issued to the Titanic. She was the most luxury of liners of her time. She was warned about the icebergs. They received those warnings. She was built by Harland the Wolff. You know the story in Belfast. She was carrying 2,223 passengers. And she struck an iceberg. That Titanic vessel sunk to the bottom of the ocean in 2 hours and 40 minutes. The people that were on board were in God's eternity in 2 hours and 40 minutes or less. If you were in God's eternity in 2 hours and 40 minutes, what changes would you make? There were 1,517 lives lost on that day. It's reported that the day the Titanic set sail, the president of White Star Lines is alleged to have said, not even God can sink this ship. Friend, God's not mocked. On board, there was a great party. But an iceberg caused a great panic. And that vessel fell to the bottom of the sea. Oh, friend, remember the harvest. For a king, he had a great party. And the finger of God caused a great panic in his life. What if God was to put his finger in your life tonight? Where will your soul be? I trust if you're not saved, that tonight will make a difference for you. That night made a difference for Belshazzar. And I trust that tonight will make a difference for you. Because tonight will be the night when you'll trust Christ. You know, to be saved is an easy thing. Just bow your head and realize you're a sinner. You say, Lord, I know you died on the cross for me. Lord, come into my heart and come into my life. Wash away my sin and make me ready for heaven. The gift of God is eternal life. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. I trust this night you'll find Christ and you'll have your sins washed away. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.